Jim Caminata is our speaker today. Jim, you want to come on up? Some of you might remember Jim. Jim was a PBC-supported missionary for not as long as I've been alive, although Jim might say that, but a little over two decades. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, a little over two decades. He was in Italy. He was helping support and encourage churches and make disciples over there. God used him to do many awesome eternal works. It's fun to hear his stories. And Jim has also become a friend and an encouragement and a little bit of a mentor in my life. So I'm grateful that he's here with us this week and is going to be sharing. Also, as part of that, we're going to go out to lunch, Jim and I, after church here. And if any of you would like to join us, please see me after service. See, I'm telling you now so that those of you who think it's a good idea but don't want to come, you'll forget. And those of you who really want to come will come see me afterwards. That way, we hope that we can fit you all around like one table. My plan is to go to the Rue because they can accommodate more of us in their outside seating area. So if you're interested in lunch with Jim and I, Jim and myself, please see me after service and we'll make sure there's space for you. Your lunch is your treat, okay? Our lunch is my treat. You see how that goes? Okay, good. Just want to make sure you understand that on the way. You're like, I'm having lobster rolls and dessert. Not quite that way. Anyways, so now you know those three things. The last thing that you need to know is that the love that Jesus has for Jim and Jim's return love to him has brought about a great deal of knowledge of what it looks like to be intimate with Christ and to listen to him as you serve. And so I'm excited for that to come out of Jim's life and sermon as he speaks. And because of that, I just want to pray as he gets into... Are you okay with that?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good. All right. As he teaches us today. Lord, thank you for Jim. Thank you for the truth and the love of your son that he's brought into my life. Thank you for the encouraging words that he consistently has for the brethren. Thank you for his heart of equipping and also reaching the lost. We pray, Father, that you would use him to teach us and lead us today to know Christ more. Thank you for the preparation that he has done, and even more so, thank you for the preparation that you have done in your word, in our lives, and his lives, so that this time can be a time that is special and holy unto you. Bless the teaching of your word, Lord. Bless us as we learn. And we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it's my pleasure to be with you again here at Peninsula, one of my favorite churches to visit. It's always been a wonderful experience for me for all of these years, so I'm happy to be here. Today, I'm going to be in Ephesians chapter 3. If you want to turn there, and whatever kind of phone or Bible you have, Ephesians 3. It's in the prayer of Paul from verses 14 to 21. And I want to introduce it by saying that the first, well, Ephesians, from my study, is divided into two parts. The first three chapters are about what God has done for us or is doing in us and through us. And the last three chapters are what we're supposed to do in Jesus, in the church, in the body of Christ. And this is a prayer of Paul, and it is, I can't say it, I don't want to blow a gasket by saying, but it is a powerful prayer, and I'm praying God will help us to unpack it today that will impact all of us for the glory of God in our lives and the way the world is today. Now, the first part of chapter 3, Paul is talking about the mystery. You know that Paul is an apostle called, and he was a leader of the Pharisees. And he's a very well-educated guy, and he used to persecute the church and stood over and watched while believers were murdered. But God called him on the road to Damascus and blinded him. You know the story. So Paul talks about that God is revealing the great mystery. If you read this when you go home today, the first all of chapter 3. The great mystery, which is that the Gentiles will be with the Jews in the kingdom of heaven. And that is through the church that God will reveal to the heavens what God is doing through the church, including the church, because the Jews were called to bring his message to the world. But they didn't. And they failed there. But God's going to redeem everything. And now he's called us. We're part of the body of Christ. Now, if you're here today and you don't know Christ, I hope that you will hear things that will touch your heart and cause you to think. Because the key to, well, you've heard many singers sing. Anybody here have heard of Rich Mullins? He's one of my favorites. He passed away. He wrote the song, "Our God is an Awesome God, who lives and reigns from heaven and love and from heaven above with power and love." And that's what Paul is talking about today in this prayer. And I would encourage you to consider that this, I want to say, this is a prayer that husbands should pray for their wives. Wives pray for their husbands. You pray for your children. We pray for each other in the body of Christ. And how does it begin? Some say, well, you know, I don't hear God's voice anymore. Or I've never heard his voice. God seems distant. Well, there's a reason. Because now we're going to read from verse 14. And we'll talk about this. So Ephesians 3, 14 and following. It's packed. "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." He doesn't say God. He says Father, because it's about relationship. And the Apostle Paul is bowing his knees in submission to the Father, where all of us get our name. "From whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." And what does he pray for? "That he would grant you to be strengthened with might through his Holy Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." What does that mean? "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly," and I love those superlatives, "exceedingly." God is exceedingly magnificent. He is exceedingly good. He is exceedingly great in all of who he is. "Abundantly above and beyond, above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Do we know this love and power? Are there moments when we're weak? We don't sense that power. We don't feel like loving. Are there people that are hard to love? I'm sure there are. I live in Babylon. I have a friend, a brother in Michigan, who was my first Christian friend. And I don't know if he's listening now or will later on. But Fred wrote me. He said, "Jim, you're like Daniel in Babylon." I just thought that was interesting. So, unpacking these verses now. Paul bows that he would grant, verse 16, in prayer, according to God's riches, not our riches, his riches of his glory, to be strengthened, to be fortified. Where? In the inner man. You know, we have a soul. We have a heart, mind, soul, spirit. The inner man is where we make our decisions, where our will is. It's called, in the original language, psuche. Have you heard that before? Psuche. Not psycho, but psuche. Where we make our decisions, in the deep part of our heart and soul. And Paul is saying that we would be strengthened with what? With might. Now, I don't know if you've heard this before too, but what does that word might mean? In English, You know, we don't have the words like they do in other languages, like in Greek and other stuff, but other languages. But might here is the word in the original, where we get our word dynamite. In Greek, it's dunamis. Dunamite, dynamite. Now, does that speak to you? Paul prays that we would be strengthened with the dynamite power of the Spirit of God. That reaches deep into my soul, that's available to us. The dynamite power of God to live, to be His witness, to speak for Him, to touch lives. And we can't do this on our own. Jesus said, you can do nothing on your own. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, fortifies me with what? With His Spirit that indwells us. If the Spirit of God indwells us, and if you follow Christ and believe in Christ, He does, then we need to give Him liberty. Step aside, put our will down, and let the Spirit of God have His way. What does that talk about? Submission. Paul was in submission to what? To God's authority, to the authority of His Word. And so, when I was younger, I've had mentors, all kinds of them, with double-barrel shotguns, spiritual shotguns, speaking into my life. They said, Jim, you got to go deeper, deeper. So I remember getting on my knees and praying over this passage. Lord, and you know, and I study it, you read stuff, but then I asked the Spirit of God to speak to me, and He showed me. If we don't submit to His authority, God knows. If we say we just give Him lip service, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. We just give Him lip service. He's not going to work. We're not going to grow. We're not going to mature. We're not going to know His power to live the way He's called us to and gifted us to by giving us of His Spirit. I've thought about the Old Testament. You know what Joseph had to go through. I can relate to him a bit. Not everything, but some things. What about Daniel in Babylon? And how he said, didn't they put him in the lion's den? And also some of the other guys went into the fiery furnace. No, the Spirit of God didn't indwell like today. He was over them, and He empowered them. And Moses would hold his hand up or have Aaron help hold his hands up in the battle. We can know, dear people, the power, the divine power of the Spirit of God. So I want to say today, how can we know the divine power and love of Christ? It begins with submission to His Word, in spirit and in truth, honestly before God. God knows. And I remember I said, Lord, I want to be in submission to all of Your Word. I want to be Your servant. I want You to bless and touch people's lives. I got to do it with Your power. But if I don't submit to it myself, it's not going to happen. What's happening in the church in the West worldwide to have impact and influence and touch people's lives, and probably many of you do, but if we want to do this, even with our enemies, even with the most difficult, even in the Babylon of Oregon, got to have divine power, right? His power of the Spirit of God. And it begins with submission like Paul. On our knees, Lord, I submit to Your Word. I put Your Word in my heart. Abide in Him. Abide is being at home. Letting Christ be at home with us. Like when you go home, you put your feet up. You relax, you read, whatever we do at home. It's home. Christ needs to be that way in our heart. In submission to His Word and to His authority. And that's a big problem today because the world is rebelling against God's authority. His authority in creation. His authority in every part of life. They're rebelling. They want to change anything, everything. They don't want to abide by the guidelines and the boundaries that God has given. And one thing that's helped me, because I had a very tough Italian father, growing up in Chicago. Some of you may know. And my dad was really tough. And I had to submit to his authority. And I did. I did, because if I didn't, I don't know if I'd be here still. I'm exaggerating, but you know, you have to listen to your children. Learn to listen to their parents, right? Their authority. The parents are like God in the lives of babies and children growing up. They must submit and listen to their parents to know right from wrong, to avoid danger, and not be in harm's way. I know a little boy in Italy. His name is Andrew, Biandrea in Italian. And he was 3 or 4, I remember. And you know, the Italians have this coffee pot. It's called a caffiera. It gets boiling hot. It all bubbles up. Well, then it was a big one. And it was on the stove. And Andrea could just barely reach it. And he grabbed it. And he spilled scalding coffee on his chest. And he had third-degree burns. And he's got them today. Now he's 20-some years old. He was a handsome, beautiful little guy. And his father, Elia, and I were together. He was a pastor. We worked together in northern Italy in disciple making and in outreach. And Elia was very moved because what happened to Andrea. He had to take him to the hospital. But he didn't listen because his dad told him, Andrea, don't touch the stove. Don't touch hot, any kind of pot. Especially the coffee pot that just got turned off. And it must have had 5 or 6 coffees in it, espressos. Okay, but he got burnt. And I was there when Andrea came back from the hospital, and he walked him over to the stove. And he said, Andrea, what did Poppy tell you? Don't touch the pot. He says, Andrea, will you remember now? Don't touch the pot anymore. And it was a great lesson. But that is the authority of his father teaching, speaking. That's what God does for us. He's given us his word. Don't do this. Of course, I was saying that I learned a lot of boundaries as a growing up as a Catholic kid. But even when I went off to college at Wild Michigan State, they're even more wild now. I had enough training from my parents that I knew the boundaries in life. And has stayed with me my entire life to walk with the Lord in morality, to seek to be with all in integrity, and listen to the voice of the Lord, is what I got from the Word. So God has given us authority, and the world's in rebellion all over the place, right? We see it everywhere. They reject his authority. And that's a no-brainer. You don't go there. You reject God's authority, you're doomed. We're really doomed. Would you agree with that? So we have to submit to God's authority, begins this part here. And then the blessings come. So Paul submits. He prays to be strengthened with the dynamite power of the Spirit through his Spirit in the inner man. Verse 17, for what reason? That Christ may dwell in our hearts, abide there. John 15, abiding in the Word, abiding in the Lord, abiding in his love. If we don't abide, we're not going to have those things. So through faith, okay, so that again, you being rooted and grounded in love. I mean, what is better than love? Unconditional agape love that comes from God. We don't have it naturally. You know, we have brotherly love, where there's different types of phileo love. There's 3 or 4 different types of love. This is about unconditional love, which is not possible unless God gives it to us. And so if we submit to God and we grow in our love for God, if we don't love God, it's all over. We have nothing to give to anybody. We must love God. And that grows in us. And then if we love God, then it overflows. We can love others. And we all want to grow in this, to love people unconditionally. And, you know, sometimes that's hard. Some people seem to be, they're impossible to love. It takes God to love them. And God loves the world. Jesus on the cross said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they were really being hateful, and they had him murdered. Of course, they killed him, but he gave up his life. So I'm saying we can do it with the dynamite power of the Spirit of God and the unconditional love of God. Rooted and grounded is a double metaphor. Now let's go. We're standing in this building here. I don't know how deep this foundation is, but I bet it's pretty deep here, especially on the coast. The foundation founded. This building is founded in a strong foundation before God. And we're thankful that it's well-founded, right? Okay, goes deep. A trees. Now, I don't know what the trees are like here on the coast, but I know what they're like in other places. And you probably have the kind of trees that grow in Oregon. They're very big and tall. The roots grow deep. And Chris was telling me just yesterday about the roots of trees go down into the soil and they consume it. They break it up. You ever try to get rid of roots out of a yard, of a stump or a tree that's been cut down? They go deep. It's not easy. Paul is saying here that we would be rooted and grounded in love, agape love, strong, and get the nutrients. The love strengthens us with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit loves. So all this works in us that we can be a vessel in this world, especially today. We don't know how worse it's going to. I think it's going to get a lot worse than persecution. I don't know if anybody agrees with me here, but it's going to get tougher. And the church needs to be rooted and grounded in love and filled with the divine power of the Spirit of God. And some of these guys say, amen? Amen. Okay. So, verse 18, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints. He's saying there that we can comprehend what is incomprehensible. So, let's go on. What is the width, the length, the depth, and the height? To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. So it's incomprehensible. It's not easy to comprehend. How big is the love of Christ? Is it as big as this church? Is it as big as the state of Washington? And the United States? Of the world? Of the universe? It's incomprehensible, the love of Christ. And it's so wonderful, unconditional, from God. And that's the love he has for us in the world if we will listen to him and receive his love. But if we don't submit, we're not going to know it. And I want to say to you that I've studied this, that God has to transform our body, our soul. How can we receive this power? You just pour it in and it just happens? He has to transform us to receive his power and his love that will work and abide in us for his glory. It brings him glory when we experience his power and his love. And so to be his disciples, we know, I've been teaching for years now with others, we love God first, most, best. We love others, we serve others, and we equip others. We make disciples in love. And he works through. It's really him working, his love and power working through us. And we hear the word, and it transforms us. We think about the word. We're renewed by the word. We're washed by the word. He transforms our being to receive his power in love. I hope that makes sense to you. That's what he does. That's what we need. That's what we need today and every day in the morning. And I pray that when I go out into the world, I've learned this from all these years, I just say a simple prayer like you would. Lord, help me today to be a man of faith, of love, of your power, in submission to your authority, that I can manifest the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Christ. And if you're here today and you don't know Christ, I don't know who you are. If you don't, you can. But he begins in being willing to submit to God's authority. And the Spirit of God is the one who calls us. The Lord draws us to Jesus. And that can happen. And that changes everything with divine power and love. And that's how the church is to live. If we submit. Otherwise, we'll be defeated. And the inner man is strengthened. So now, the incomprehensible, width, length, depth, and height. That's a lot to know, isn't it? That's a lot to understand. But I can tell you, you know, I used to hear Keith Green sing, "You put this love in my heart." God puts it there. Michael W. Smith sang, "More power, more love." You know that song? Our music is filled with it, about the power of God and the love of God. And dear people, I believe that's what the body of Christ needs in the United States, is this using God's power and love. And I'm not saying they're not using it, but we always could do better and love more with his power and his, and then with grace and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And without submission to his authority, to his word, some people say, "Well, that part I don't like." Or some, I've heard somebody in one of my studies that Colin wrote, was that someone said, "Well, God's just a chauvinist." You know, yeah, that was kind of like my, there's issues there, you know. But we have to be willing to submit. He's our creator. He made everything. And there are consequences. As Paul puts it in other places, there is the due penalty of sin and disobedience and defiance of God. So God changes our hearts. He transforms our minds, renews them so that we can be like him, with him dwelling inside of us. And it surpasses our understanding, but he helps us understand. I mean, I bet many of you could say that you know the love of Christ over the years. You have known. There's no doubt that God loves us. We may have difficult moments, but he is with us. If we give him thanks and praise, and he takes us through the valleys, and he takes us up to the mountains, but he does work in our life. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, how can that be? All the fullness of God? What is that like? But it's possible if we let him transform us, transform our souls, our hearts, our minds. He can fill us to overflowing. Now, I know people say that, you know, I've met people in Oregon, in Portland since I've been home, and also in Italy. Love, the church, they met people who are not very loving. And I said, well, that's not God's fault if you meet people who are called Christians who don't love. Don't blame it on him. People are imperfect. People make mistakes. People need to grow and mature. What I say, and I've witnessed to some guys in Portland, I've shared in my letter that a couple guys, but one in particular, I asked them for help because the max was down and had to take a bus. And I said, "Forgive me for disturbing you, but would you be able to help me answer a question?" So it ended up in a conversation. We got on a bus together. And he said, "Yeah, I met these Christians. They don't love at all. It's not God's fault." So I was able to testify that God does love. We can't blame it. That's not an excuse. If we're searching for the Lord with our heart, whole heart, he will let us find him. There will be no excuse. But I say that kindly because I know there was once I didn't know this. I didn't know what they were talking about. I was a nice Catholic boy. And I used to confess my sins to the priest so loud in the confessional that my mother said, Jimmy, we can hear you in the pews. I'm glad we don't have to do that anymore. And then I told my nice Catholic priest when I was 20, I says, I learned it. We can talk to Jesus directly. He's the intermediary, the intercessor between God and men. So, dear people, this is so full, the fullness of God. In other words, God is making himself available, and Paul is praying the superlative. He's praying for a great thing, that we would be filled with all the fullness of God, love, power, truth, to be his witnesses. Think of Stephen, who was in Acts, and he was stoned to death. When I read that, I just want to cry for him. But he wasn't crying. He was looking up and saw Jesus in the heavens, and he went to be with the Lord. But they stoned him to death for his faith, for his testimony. I know there might be people sometimes that want to stone us. I know I've been in places where, you know, they haven't raised any stones, but people don't want to hear the truth. And I have compassion for that. So, if we sow to the Spirit, we reap life. If we sow to the flesh, what do we reap? Death. Death. We're doomed. God is calling us. And Jesus is coming back, you know, and we don't know when. But I know the second time he comes, he's coming in his robe, white robe, with his sword and his crown as king. And people may not like to notice, but I've been studying. Jesus is going to be the Jewish or Hebrew king of the world, of the new world, and of the millennium. We're going to have a Jewish king. And I know that there's some places that they don't like that idea. But there's nothing they can do about it. He's coming with his sword, his crown, and what else? His reward. And all the more, it's upon us to walk with God in his power and love, to do the things he's called us to do, that everybody is, if we're his children, we can do the will of God and serve him. And if we serve him with his power and love, it's not going to burn in the fire, the test, that there'll be reward, right? And so that's why I want to encourage the body of Christ, that we have a way forward to serve God. And now as we close a bit here, I see that my time is up. I finally recognize that. Now to him who is able to do abundantly, exceedingly, above all that we ask or think. Exceedingly abundantly, those superlatives, fullness of God, above all that we ask or think. Think on that. And so, dear people, I want to encourage you, as it says here, to him be the glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I want to encourage us, if you know the Lord and you don't sense his power, get on your knees in submission and help demonstrate to our living God that we want to submit to his authority and his word. And he will be working. And pray through this. Pray this for your wife, for your spouse, for one another, for the church. What could God do if this whole body was walking in his power and love in Ocean Park or Long Beach or wherever we go? What can we do in Oregon or anywhere in the United States or in the world? What his power and love and submission. God wants us to be in submission to him, and then he does everything. And he does it through us for his glory and our joy. So, and if we're non-believers here today, I want to encourage you that you can know the love of Christ. You can have your life changed by the power of God. It's not some fable, and just because they're imperfect people, it doesn't mean that God is perfect and he's come for us. So, power and strength. So I hope that you will go home and meditate on this, because Paul uses, this is a powerful prayer. He uses all kinds of superlatives, and he drives it home. Think today as you go home and eat. What could God do through my life, your life, all of our lives, for his glory to impact lives, for his glory? Father, thank you for your word, and I pray that we have heard your voice, and that you have spoken, and that we are encouraged to submit to you, to experience your power and love, the dynamite power of the Spirit, the unconditional agape love, and what you can do to transform us, to make us shining lights in a city where there's darkness, like candles or lights shining in the darkness of this needy world. May Peninsula be filled with the power of your love and the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.